for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2010 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 21st, 2010, Diane Stone is the speaker of this service teaching on Imaginations.
I asked the Lord, I said, what is the last thing that we need to consider before we go home? He says, there's one thing you haven't dealt with, and one thing that needs to be dealt with so that you don't fall back into the old that you came out of. We should have come out this weekend. We've had teaching showing you where you are, showing you where it's at in the Scripture. We've had deliverance. And we've had a presentation with crowns, knowing who we are in the Lord. And we should be ready to go back and be different. But there's one thing we need to guard against, and that is our imaginations. What is imaginations? Imaginations is the capacity to form mental pictures of past experiences. That's what you should have come out of. You should not go back into past things that have tormented you. You should not go back into the angers and the fears, back into the past, back into times when you were molested, back into the times of fathers that weren't there for you, back into the times that the husband that isn't quite right yet, because you should go back with the mind of Christ, focused on Him, that whatever happens, you can live in Psalms 91. You need to live in that secret place. This is the last days, but it's only the beginning, and God is preparing us for greater things. If you cannot live in what you're living in now and be bold and strong in the Lord, if you can't leave that past behind you and go on and finish the race, then when difficult, I mean really difficult times hit, you cannot stand. God is bringing everything in the open. You've had things in your past that you didn't want to deal with. This weekend, He's brought them forth and He's brought them out, and He expects it to be laid down. Turn with me to Genesis 19. Genesis 19, 15 through 17. It's the story of Lot and his family. And it says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened, Lot saying, arise, take thy wife, take thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Some of you have been living in iniquities in your cities. Your children don't even respect you anymore. They won't even speak to you or talk to you. You have been living in these past things. Some of it you can do something about, and some of it you can't. But you have not been living the life that is Christ-like. You've been fooling around. You've been eating pork. Glenn's talked about that for years, the food laws. You're eating catfish and shrimp and pork and all these things that are an abomination. It is a law of God. It is written in the Word. And He's preached it, and you've deafened your ears. This is only one thing that has been taught at this camp. How can you expect your family to look at you and to be led toward the Lord if you are only talking the talk and not walking the walk? In every dot and every tittle, you have to live it. You can't just say it. The time for that is over. If you continue to walk in that ways, you're going to end up like Lot's wife. Let's see what happened here. And while he lingered, They lingered in that city. They really didn't want to come out. The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of the two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They snatched him out and said, "Come on, Lot, get with it. Your whole family needs to get with it. You're the man. You're the priest of the home. You're the provider. What's wrong with you? How can a wife respect such?" We have to have something, men, to respect. It doesn't say we have to love you. It says you have to love us as Christ loved the church. We have to respect you. And to respect you is to honor you in your position. It's my husband praying over me before I speak. It's when he tells me something and I think, "Oh, I don't want to do that." I do it if it's not ungodly. But you have to give us that example to lead us out of that sin of iniquity. You've got to protect us. We don't want to be Jezebelic. Honest, we don't. But your Ahab spirits press us right into the battle. Somebody has to take it up, and so we do it. We take it up and we go with it, but we don't want to do it. We want that protection. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Get out of this mess. Don't go back. There's homosexuality. Sodom and Gomorrah is not what you want in your life. You want to go like the song said." Thank you, girls, so much. We want that higher level. Amen. We want that river to flow through us. Yes. We want our souls that's in that blood to be free of all the angers and the fears and the frustrations. We want it to be full of God and Christ, and we want to walk in it. It says, "Look not behind you, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest I be consumed." You stay there, you're going to die. Spiritually, physically, every way. You've got to leave it behind. And you've got to go forth. And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, Lord. Behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain. I just can't do it, Lord. It's too hard. You're asking me to give up pork. Oh, can't. I love that pig. So I've got a little arthritis here in the knee. My bones ache, and I've got all these trigonosis worms. Oh, well, not much of a price to pay. I'm just going to eat that ham." Consumed, not wanting to go to the higher calling of God. Is it a popular place to be? No. I get talked about all the time. So, what's new? You have to take a stand. Not a middle of the road, wishy-washy. You got to say, "Hey, God's word says no pork, and I know there's in there for a reason. And it's for my health. It's so I can live to the 60 and plus group. I'm not going to die in the 20 group because I can't move. I'm going to be able to tell people about the Lord because my body's going to be in good shape." You can't have the power of the Lord. You can't go up into the mountain unless you follow His word. It doesn't work. Everybody wants the power and everybody wants the glory, but nobody seems to want to walk the walk. It's like the little hen that made the cake. You remember? "Who will help me make this cake?" "Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy." But then when the cake gets made, who wants to help eat the cake? "Here I am. Ready to eat it." It doesn't work that way. It's a process. And God wants us to go all the way to the top. And some of us have stopped way low below our potential. Look down in 26. But his wife looked back behind him. She looked back. And it says she became a pillar of salt. We are the salt of the world. But she lost her savor. She crystallized. She's just a pile of crystallized salt because she stayed in the past. She's kept her fears. She's kept her angers. She's kept all the things that the law says not to do. And she was consumed. Turn to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24. And this is taught and 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 taught at this camp. And so it's taught so many times people say, I don't want to hear that anymore. Why does Glenn keep teaching about those commandments? Why doesn't he teach about something else? Because you don't listen. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Glenn is writing a book, and he has not asked me to do this. I'm not an advertisement person. But I'm going to buy that book, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to consume it, because I will guarantee you it will be life. It's going to be hard stuff. I can hardly wait to get my teeth in it. It's going to be stuff like don't do this and don't do that. And if you do this, this is going to happen. But if you do this, this will happen. That's what I want in my life. I want it all. And there is a price to pay. It does not come easy. You will not make friends and influence people, as the book says. You will not. Because there is a remnant, and not too many people are in this remnant. You will be surprised who the people are that are in this remnant. It says the last will be first, and the first will be last. The people you see first may not be in that remnant. They are deceived in their mind because they do not do the things of the Lord. You've got to search your heart. That's why David said, search my heart, O Lord. Do you know what you're asking? When you ask for that, you're asking for a cleansing. You could be asking for trials and tribulations. It says, be glad. Be glad. My friend Jane showed me that scripture one day when I was going through a hard time about have joy during temptations and tribulations. And I thought, oh, Jane. But it said on down, it said, when you have gone through them, amen. When you have gone through them, it is wonderful. And that's paraphrasing. But you got it. You have passed the test. And you have a strength in God that you didn't have before. Count your trials joy. It's like I told you yesterday. I took a cloth myself when we did deliverance because I was hoping for more. For more. Don't ever cut yourself short. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't care what other people say. You just take a hold of that hem of that garment and you hold on with all you've got and let that virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ come out and cleanse you from your head to your toe.
Yes.
Don't sidestep it. Jeremiah 23:24 said, but they hearken not. They read these commandments. Oh, honor your father and mother. That's one of them, I think. Boy, we fail that one, don't we? You know why it says to honor your father and mother? Because you have long life. You're going to be in the 60s and over category.
Amen.
Because you honored them. You didn't have a bad soul tie with them. My dad is 84 now, and he's coming into a time of life that he's requiring more of my attention. I'm not turning from that because I love my dad. At the same time, my dad has an Ahab spirit, and he will control and manipulate me all he can. And I didn't give in to that either. I said, Dad, we're not going that way. I'm an only child, so he depends on me quite a bit. I said, now, I'll be happy to help you. I love you with all my heart, but you're not going to do that to me. And he told me he was sorry, and he told me he loved me, and he appreciates me. And it's a pleasure to take care of my dad. But you've got to know how to war. I'm not telling you to be a target for the enemy. But I am telling you to be assertive, to take your position. But you can't take your position if you let your mind go back into the past, into all these old things that you've come out of this weekend. It says, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart and went backwards and not forward. In other words, imagination in this verse means stubborn hardness, firmness of their wrong, injured soul. So stubborn that they are going to do it their way, and they went backwards, back into their old habits. Whatever that was that you got delivered of, they went back and they did not go forward. What happened to Lot's wife when she went backwards? Consumed. Consumed to even let more demonic powers come into you. More things to make your situation worse in your life. Turn to Joshua 7. If you read 1 through 12, it talks about Achan and what he did. See, they were having a lot of victories, the Israelites were. But when they went into the battle of Ai, they were smitten. They were defeated. And you know, they had that pride. They thought, we can go into this battle. We've been doing our own thing. We got it. You know, God's on our side. We're going to win this battle. They lost. And so, when they lost, Joshua sought the Lord. And he said, why did we lose, God? What was wrong? And God told him that there was an accursed thing in the camp. And so Joshua said, for the Canaanites and the inhabitants, it's in verse 9, of the land shall hear of it. Oh, they're going to hear of it, Lord. And shall envir us around and cut us off thy name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? Oh, Lord. You know, he had pride, didn't he? He didn't want to look bad. He didn't want to look bad in this battle because they had gotten smitten. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou that thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken an accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. You know, there are people in the ministry that talk about other ministers. They don't support them. They go behind their backs, and they talk, and they'll say, well, you won't like this sister because nah, 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 nah. And blah, 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 blah. It's an accursed thing in our congregations. It shouldn't be that way. We all have our place. It is a submitting place that I talked about to you earlier, where you have God, you have the husband, you have the wife, you have the children, you have the church work. God has not changed His Word. It's the same thing at this campground. Tammy is boss of the kitchen. I am not going in there and saying, Tammy, I think tonight we need to have hot dogs. You don't know. Nobody wants that old spaghetti you've got. I would be totally out of order. If I go in that kitchen, I am to work. I'm to wash the dishes. I'm to say, Tammy, what do you want me to do? If she says, chop the onion, I chop that onion. It's not a power struggle thing. I don't go in there saying, I want to be head of the kitchen. Because I'm telling you, God will whip me. Maybe not now, maybe not next year, maybe not the next. But the power, guys, and the anointing will not be when you want it and you need it because you are not what you're supposed to be in God. Patty is boss of the office. Linda and Rhonda submit to her and Ada. They all submit to Patty. They don't come in there and say, Patty, I think you need to type this letter today to the Bijoux and tell them that we enjoyed them being here last weekend. They don't go in there and boss Patty. Patty goes in there and says, girls, I need you to do this and you to do that. And if you could answer the phone calls and pray for the people today. And they say, yes, ma'am. You're supposed to, Linda. Don't blow my teaching, okay? At the camp meetings, when you come to the 6 o'clock prayer meeting, my husband is in charge. And everybody should submit to that authority. You do not need 10 little Indians trying to speak up and to blurt out and to cause confusion in the prayer meeting. People have come here for help. People are desperate. And so we all should look to Tom, not because we're weak. I am not going to be a Jezebel in that prayer meeting. My husband is in charge. He will say, okay, Diane and myself and Richard are going this way. Carla and Ada and Don are going this way. Or whatever he says, we say, yes, sir. Because that is order. And if you come out from order, the anointing will not be there. You will not have the power and authority of God to move when you need Him to move. There is an authority and a submission, and we need to do it. If you go behind the scenes and you talk about people in the prayer meeting, or you say, well, he's going to do this and you need to do that and da-da-da-da, and they've got this and they've got that, you will not have the things you need when it comes down to it and it's time. You are not high on that mountain. You're maybe about a fourth of the way up and you're going to fall and you're going to be consumed. This is not a competition. I didn't come to prayer meeting this time because they asked me to teach. I don't have to do everything at this camp. There were plenty of people. Carla was in charge, and I'm definitely sure everybody submitted to her. They should have. If they didn't, that was wrong. She was in charge, and she told people what they were to do, and I'm sure many of you got help because of that. Diane taught. Nancy taught. I taught. That is what God had us to do at this meeting. Next meeting, it might be totally different. I might be in there washing the dishes with Tammy. Well, I'm not getting to teach. You know what they had me do? Wash the dishes. The scripture says that God makes room. God elevates. Remember, you don't go and elevate yourself. And Patty can tell you that I never ask Glenn if I can teach. I try to dodge him. But what I'm trying to say, it doesn't matter. And I honestly mean that. I'm not afraid to teach. I'm not. Some people have told me a long time ago, you're afraid to get up there. You're this, you're that. You don't know me. You need to get to know me. I'm not afraid. But I submit. And I will continue to do that. We go to Miss Louise's prayer group on Thursday. Wonderful prayer group. Miss Louise is our leader. She leads us. Wonderful lady in the Lord. None of us step out of line. We don't try to just take over her prayer meeting. She might say, Ada, will you play for us on your instrument and sing? Ada does it. If she doesn't ask Ada to sing, Ada doesn't come up there and say, oh, I brought my violin. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? It's so silly when you think about it, isn't it? So silly. Oh, goodness. Okay, but Achan repented. That's the good thing. In verse 20, it says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus I have done. When I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shackles of silver and a wedge of the gold of 50 shackles weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of the tent and the silver under it." He fessed. Did he have to fess up? No. He could have kept the stuff. He could have been consumed. You know, I say to you, if there's something you need to make right, if you know you've had stubborn and hard plans in the past, if you know you've done some of these things, make it right. Nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? It's you that it catches, and it's you that will be consumed with it. Go to Colossians 1:21-23. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind of wicked works." These have been wicked works. In your mind, you've planted bad things and caused dissension in the body of Christ. "Yet now hath he recounseled you in the body of his flesh through death to present yourself holy and unblameless and unreprovable in his sight, as ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away with the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which have preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister." Know your position. Know where you're to be. God recounsels you. If you need to make something right, do it. You know, do it. Make it right. Another thing, imaginations, can be in the future. It can create mental pictures of situations and conditions that we have not actually experienced. You can think up things in your mind that are not true. It's like I said, many of you don't know me. Maybe you've thought things that aren't true about me because you've never taken the time to sit down with me and know who I am. My daughter-in-law, I love my daughter-in-law. I told you that yesterday. She's funny. A lot of you like her, too, because she's funny. And she's good for me. She makes me laugh. And I mean in a good way. But she told me after she married my son, she said, "You're nothing like I thought you were." I said, "What do you think I was?" I said, "Is this a good thing or a bad thing?" She said, "Oh, it's good." So I have no idea what she thought or what she didn't. But it was wrong concepts. Wrong imaginations in her mind. You know, I don't know many of you, but I'm not gonna imagine something about you. And if someone tells me something about you, you know, our sister yesterday said, test the spirits. Get to know that person. Is what they're saying right about you? How will I know unless I get to know you? I won't know. And all that could be is just dissension among the brethren. And that doesn't need to be. Daydreaming, and some dreams are a form of imagination. They serve various purposes, such to escape temporary reality. In this meeting today, some of you might be thinking, I just wish you'd shut up. I want to get out of here. I've got 5 miles, 10 miles, 150 miles to drive. Let's see, what am I going to cook for supper tomorrow night? And you're daydreaming about somewhere else than where you need to be. God has put you here right now. Right now. He has not put you in tomorrow's or the next day's or the next day's situations. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. The cares of today are enough. You are here right now. You didn't go home like anybody else. And I'm not saying they didn't need to go. I'm saying God put the people in this group at this time that was supposed to be here in this group at this time. He put them where they need to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to keep your mind where you're at. It doesn't need to go back to the past, and it does not need to daydream into the future. I might say something totally off the wall. You need to keep your mind on what I'm doing. Sister said yesterday, you need to have that Bible. You need to be sure that those scriptures they're reading are correct. Yesterday I read a right scripture, but I had Proverbs 15:13, and my dear daughter-in-law said, no, it's Proverbs 15:15. I said, thank you very much. I'm not perfect. I knew the word, but I didn't have the scripture matching up to it. Well, I knew she wasn't sleeping. Right? It's like my sister said, I knew she was right there with me. And she didn't do it to be mean. She was being helpful. See, it's a helpful thing. We don't try to go, oh, see what that sister did? Oh! No, it's, hey, sister, look, here it is here. And I'll go, oh, I see. It's to help each other. So the kingdom can grow, not decrease. Okay. And also we daydream over frustrations that we have. You know, sometimes we'll be in a frustrating situation and we'll just totally take our mind into swimming at the beach in Florida or snow skiing in Colorado. You know, you've had people tell you to do that. You know, they'll say, you know, think of something else so that you don't get involved. That's not it. What is it is God. I am looking to you. I am putting my mind on you because my mind wants to be in peace. My mind wants to be focused so that when someone says, oh, Sister Diane, I want you to come up and help me. And I want you to come up and help me. And maybe I'll leave my sister Connie totally out. Well, Connie's mind has to be focused on God. Now, this happens. This is reality. Connie's mind needs to be focused so much on God. Who cares? It doesn't matter who helps. You know what I'm saying? And you get in this in social situations, too. Maybe someone was asked to dip the ice cream and you weren't. You know, who cares? You might get to slice the cake someday, you know? But if you've got your mind on God, and that's where you're focused, I'll guarantee you God will open the door, and you will slide in there, ice cream, cake, and all. There you go. And you'll be eating it instead of dipping it. Okay? We can also get in daydreams, satisfying hidden desires. You know, some people escape into books, bookworms, you know, because they just can't face reality. And some people, ooh, here we go, get caught up in Facebook. It's not a bad thing. It can be a good thing. If you get on Facebook and, like, say, you put scriptures on there or you put meetings you're going to have or it's like a poster thing, that's a good thing. But my daughter and several of my daughter-in-laws, not mentioning names, Jamie. No, anyway. No, young people and a lot of people are on Facebook. And I'm not saying they use it wrong, but they let me look at their Facebook. My daughter did. And I said, what is that all about anyway? And she said, well, I'll show you. So I look on there, and one of the ladies said, well, I think I'll go take my trash out. And I thought, well, I don't know if I want to get on there and say that. So I told my daughter, I said, I got more things to do than to put down. Well, I'm going to take my trash out. I think I'll go to the store in 10 minutes, you know. And I thought, these people are staying on this Facebook all day long. My daughter was going to have a babysitter. And this lady in town, that she was supposed to be the best babysitter in our town. And so everybody highly recommended her. When I looked on that Facebook, she was on there continually. And I said, Amy, that's my daughter's name. I said, how's she watching these kids? How's she watching these children? I said, she's on this Facebook. And we got tickled and we laughed. The point of it is it can consume your mind if you let it. Just like computer games, television, magazines, anything that you let will consume your mind. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. We can use these things for good. But if you're trying to escape from reality, if you're trying to escape from your frustrations, and you need a hidden source to do that, Facebook would be a great way. A great way. Now, turn to 2 Samuel 11:2-5. 2 Samuel 11:2-5. And Most everybody in here knows that that this is the story of David and Bathsheba. Let's see what happened here. 2 Samuel 11, 2 through 5. And it said, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off his bed." He was already gone to bed. He got up and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David was a peeping Tom. He had a peeping Tom spirit. Did you ever think about that? And he had a lot of lust. And he looked upon her, and pornography entered in. You look at these things on the television, the wrong things. Now, there's some good things on there. You look at the wrong magazines. You look at these wrong things, and these things will go whoop right in there, right into that soul that you have cleaned up. You don't want to mess it up again. That's what I'm telling you. And your imaginations just start going. Ooh, he saw this woman and she was so beautiful and she was bathing. And it says that he sent someone to inquire about her and they told him that this was Bathsheba. And you know that she had a husband. Yeah, Uriah. She had a husband. But his lust took over. And so what did he do in verse 4? And David sent messengers and took her. He was a king. We're king's kids. We can do anything we want. And she came in unto him and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned into her house. He thought, no big deal. I'm the king. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Didn't turn out too good, did it? Just because we're king's kids, we can't do anything we want to do. We can't look. I can't look at other men in a lustful way. I have a husband. My looks are toward him. My desires are toward him. Some of you may have been in that. That's the past. That's what I'm telling you. Don't go back. Guard your mind. Now, David entered in adultery. Rape spirits came in. But you know what? It even went further. He had him killed. He had the husband killed to cover up his sin. And there was murder. You see how these spirits can get back in with just one little innocent look in the wrong direction? You guard your mind. You guard your heart. And I'll tell you, someone told me recently, and some of this is misunderstanding. That's why I'm explaining it to you. When my husband's up here praying and people come for help, and a lot of you have lustful spirits on you, this is my man. And all I do is just come and stand by him and claim my man. Am I jealous? Someone said to me recently, said, you're jealous, aren't you? Said, we saw you go up there and stand by Tom. I said, I'm not jealous. This is the Word of God. This is a protection for our marriage. And Tom usually asks me, or he'll ask some other lady, Carla or Diane or someone else, if I'm not here, would they help him pray for a woman if needed? And that is proper. And in the same respect, Diane and Carla, if their husbands aren't here, or Nancy, they might say to my husband, will you come over here and help me? That is proper. You guard your marriage. You guard your mind. Satan's not going to do that for you. You have got to learn to war. You've got to have that discernment. You've got to be watching and looking all the time and still have the love of God. It says that we are to be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as
doves.
Or a lamb. I think it's two ways. But see, we're to be gentle, we're to be kind, we're to be loving. But we cannot be passive. God has shown me that. We have to be assertive. If we're asked something, if someone comes to me and said, you know, I think I hurt your feelings yesterday, I'll say, yes, you did. And they say, well, I ask you to forgive me. I say, sure. And we make it right. You don't say, how many times have you said to someone when they come up and they say to you they've hurt your feelings or something, and you say, oh, it's no big deal. And then you chunk that down in your soul. It was a big deal. It was an issue. You've got to be assertive. You've got to say, yeah, we did have problems there, but you know what? I'm so glad now it's out in the open and you work through it. God says, go one to another. Yes. You go to that person. You don't, over here to this one. And did you know what she did? Da, da, da. You know what she did? Da, da, da. And then you've got everybody supposedly turned against this one person. But I'm telling you, the truth always comes out. Yes. I had a situation when I taught school, and I taught with this third grade teacher, and my job was to go into the classroom and to help children with math, to help the math teachers. Well, this lady would not let me help these children. And a child would come over for me to help, and she'd say, go sit down. And she'd meow, 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 meow at him. And my ears got to hurting because of those words that she was using, and it was just, and it got to a point that it was not a, I couldn't do my job. It wasn't a workable situation, and she wouldn't listen. So I had to go to the principal, and I told him, I said, I've never come to you, and I never had, and he knew that. But I said, here's what I told him. I said, I would appreciate maybe if you brought us both together, that's scriptural, and him there, and we could talk this out, because I said, I can't do my job. Now, it was in his ballpark because he's my boss. He looked at me and he said, you have done nothing wrong. I will take care of the situation. And he did. He removed me from the classroom and put me in a room by myself, and we pulled the children out. And I could help them. But the thing of it was, this is the part I'm getting to, that teacher went around, the principal took Diane out of my classroom because she was causing confusion and not doing a good job. I don't know what she said. Really, I don't know. But she was telling things about me that were not true. She had the wrong plan and the wrong devices. Now, people started looking at me differently. They started avoiding me. They started not talking to me. They believed in their imaginations what she told them. And, you know, it took a lot within me because that kind of hurt, you know. And I wanted to just say, well, you don't understand. She's the one that's in the wrong. And I was pulled out. But it was only God. I mean, it was only God because I'm only human and only flesh. But I kept my mouth shut. And year after year went by. And finally, I prayed for her, and after about 5 years, the principal put me back in her room. She had been saved. She came to me, and she apologized. But you have to keep your mouth shut sometimes. You have to take the errors because you're looking totally at God. You don't put out things about the other people. You stand your firm ground in God. Now that is that's something we don't do, unfortunately. But I'm telling you this because don't go back into those past imaginations. Don't believe everything you hear about somebody because the situation may be more than what you realize. A lot of times the way that Glenn conducts this camp, he knows best. You don't have to know every decision he makes or why he makes it. He's been at this camp for many, many, many years, and he knows all about it. And if he doesn't do something about something or something you think he should, I'll guarantee you there's a reason. Because there's always more to the story than what you were told.
Correct.
If imaginations are allowed to get out of hand, a person may lose touch with reality and serious mental disorders may result. Let's see how that could happen. Turn to 1 Samuel 18, 7 through 11. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. He watched him. Oh, he was scared. Oh, David was going to take his kingdom over. And envy entered in there. And see, when you have two Christian brothers a lot of times, and in deliverance, maybe you might say, "Woo, Diane over here, Diane Bijou, boy, she's really casting them out." And Carla's over here saying, "Man, nothing's happening to me. Oh my, I'm going to lose my position. Boy, Diane's a threat to me. I've got to watch it. I might not even be asked to pray anymore." Now see, that's what happens. I'm telling you, that's what happens. What should be is, "Hey, Diane, can you come and help? Because apparently Diane's got the anointing right now." It's okay. It's all right. Some hop and leap and praise the Lord, because when that happened, there were two disciples there. One prayed to make that guy go hopping and leaping and praising the Lord. And what do you think the other one was doing? He was supporting that one that was praying. Supporting him. Because who cares where the credit comes? Who is the healer? Who is the deliverer? I don't want any credit. You don't want any credit. You'll get in self. You'll get out of order. Okay. So, what happens here to old Saul? Let's see in 10. Let's see how he handled these situations. And it came to pass on the morrow that that evil spirit was a bad, hurtful, injurious thing from God. From who? God. God sent this evil spirit to Saul. Saul opened himself up because he became envious of David, because David was casting out more demons than he was. He was killing more warriors than he was. He was doing more than he was. Okay. So he got this evil spirit from God, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And let's see what David did. David played with his hands as at the other times. He played his instrument and he played God, and he didn't worry about Saul. He didn't worry about the situation. He cared less if he did 10,000, Saul did 1,000. He wanted the anointing of God. He wanted the power of God. He wanted his mind focused on God, and he knew that God was the answer because God was the one that was helping him in the battle. But then it said, and there was a javelin, a spear, at Saul's hand. Oh, he got angry. And he wanted to murder him. The murdering spirit comes in, and it says, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. The murdering spirit came on him. He started praying. This, I'm saying in reality here. I don't know if he did this, but we do this. I don't do this, but you can do this. You've got to be careful not to do this. "Lord, David is my enemy. Take him out, God. Take him out. I'm supposed to be head. I'm supposed to be king. I'm this position." And you start praying against your Christian brother. You start praying that they die. You start praying that God takes them out. I've seen it happen. You go to prayer groups all the time and you say, "Woe is me because of so-and-so, and we need to pray this and this and this." No. You pray they turn around. You pray for their salvation. You pray for restoration. You don't pray that they die. And most of the time, when people get in the position that the other people were in, they find out, you know what? This wasn't an easy job. Oh my, I didn't know they had to deal with this and this and this and this and this. I have seen, and my husband has seen, we've been associated with this camp, we don't even know how long, maybe 18 years, I don't know, whatever. We started coming because we had our head in the bucket for many years, okay? We'll still put it in there if it needs to be. But we have seen people after people after people come and say, "Well, we'll take the camp over next. When Glenn's gone, it'll be ours. It'll be ours." No, it's reality. It doesn't work. This is God's camp. Glenn had the vision. What God with it, nobody can tell you because nobody knows and nobody cares at this camp. We're all in one accord that this is God's. But there has been people that thought, "Hey, I could be next in line." They don't realize the responsibilities here. They don't realize what Glenn has to do. They don't realize it. And Patty and Kevin, we've got to support these people, not tear them down. We've got to support it. Keep them in your prayers. Lift it up that God can continue to move. Do you know how many people have been delivered and helped here? And not one person, not only just one person, has prayed for them. It has been a multitude of people that have come together out of the love of God, out of the mind of Christ, out of their hearts that want to see people set free. They don't care who prays. That's the way it needs to be, is what I'm telling you. Come. Enter in. If someone you feel is more anointed for a certain period or whatever, step back. Say, have at it, sister. Let them do it. And then if you feel it, God's going to allow a way. I think it was last Sunday, and Glenn doesn't hand me the microphone very often. I don't ask for it, really. And he looked at me and he handed me that microphone. And I mean, woo! The anointing was there. Man, I felt the power of God. I got excited, you know? But God was in our service big time last week. There was someone that came over here and sang a song. And Ralph is our leader, wonderful leader. But he yielded to it. We were in praise. And then all of a sudden, Mara starts singing a song. Ralph yielded. Ralph's our leader on Sunday. He didn't say, la, 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 and sing louder than Mara. No, he yielded. Mara had the song. And then a song came out from someone else, and someone else, and the power of God was here. It was a wonderful service. It was wonderful. And everybody entered in, because it says someone will have a song, someone will have a verse, someone will have the word. It's together, a oneness. And God is trying to bring that body into the oneness with Him. And that's when you're going to really see the things happen. But what happened to Saul? He received the evil spirit. He got a murdering spirit. Look at 1 Samuel 28:7. And then Saul and to his servants, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit. He started calling up a woman from the dead. He started out godly. Now he was asking people from the dead to give him help. That I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman with a familiar spirit Endor. And he sought after witchcraft powers. He went from a godly man because of envy of David. And David dodged him. All through his life, he dodged him. I mean, he could touch his skirt, but he didn't hurt him. He could take his weapons away, but he didn't hurt him. David maybe even knew he was going to be king, but he didn't try to be king before it was his time. He sang and he played and he praised the Lord. And Saul destroyed himself. Okay, so look at Jeremiah 9:14. Almost finished, guys. Hang with me just a little bit. Jeremiah 9:14. And it says, but have walked after the imagination. That means stubbornness in this part. Stubbornness of their own heart, their own soulish mind. And after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. You know, sometimes, and then look at Jeremiah 13:10 that goes with it. Jeremiah 13:10 says, and this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination, the stubbornness again of their hearts or souls, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship this, shall even be as the girdle, which is good for nothing. You are good for nothing. Ever had anybody tell you that? Well, God's Word says that. If you're going to walk after other things, if you're not going to follow His laws, if you're not going to do His commandments, if you're not going to try to live the life, I know we all fail sometimes, but it's your heart. It's your heart. You pick yourself up, you repent, and you go on. If you're not going to try to do this, the Scripture says you're good for nothing. So what do we do? What does God expect us to do? Turn to 2 Chronicles 10:5. Casting down imaginations. What is imaginations? Our reasoning. Anything that is hostile to the Christian faith. Oh, 2 Corinthians. What did I say? I'm sorry. Chronicles. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Thank you. Now see, was I offended over that? No. I'm thankful for the help. And she's my sister and she loves me and I know that. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations. That means imaginations is such things that's hostile to the Christian faith. Your reasoning that doesn't line up against the knowledge, against your thoughts, against your purposes of God. And bringing into captivity every, that means all, thoughts. That's things lawful and unlawful for Christians. You're going to bring all these unlawful things into captivity. You're going to think of the lawful things to the obedience, to the submission of Christ. And that's what I'm telling you. This is a submission thing. Christ, husband, wife, children, church. It never changes. And if you have no husband, your husband is Christ. Louise's husband is Christ. And she submits. She's not a Jezebel, girls. Look at her. Meek, nice, very, very kind, wonderful spiritual mother to lots of people. Not out of order at all. All right, two more scriptures. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep. That means thou will guard. Thou will watch for dangers for you. Him in perfect or complete peace. Perfect human relationships. He will do that. Whose mind, whose imaginations is stayed on or rested on or leaned on because he trusteth, because we have confidence in him. Yeah. Things aren't going right in a situation like I told you with that teacher. Didn't come about overnight. People said mean and bad things about me. You got to be sure you're right with God now. I mean, you know, you just can't, you know, you got to be right. Amen. But it came about in a good way. It took a while, 3, 4, 5 years. It took a while, but she was saved. Oh, wow. And she was wonderful to work with. Never had another problem, and she knew she was wrong, and she apologized. What else do you want? You want her to die? You know where she'd go? Now, see, that's where our imaginations go. That's where our minds go. We think wrong. All right, one more verse. Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. That means emotions, affections, desires, your whole heart. With all thy soul, feelings, the breath of life. And with all thy mind, the way you think, your imaginations. Don't let your mind run. And with all thy strength, with all your ability, with all your might. And as Glenn says, this is the first commandment. There are 9 more. Not only do you need to memorize them, but you need to know it and you need to walk in it. And the first commandment says, our mind stays on Him. We love Him with all of our soul and all of our being. We don't take our eyes off of Him. When things are happening around you, don't go back into the past. Don't go back into the anger. Don't go back into the fears. Don't go back into fighting with your husband. How many does it take to fight? Keep your mind on Him. Watch your mouth, ladies. My mouth sometimes gets me. Sharp tongue. Watch it. Submit it to God. Don't daydream in the future. Oh, I wish I was married to someone else. Oh, look at so-and-so over here. Their marriage is so wonderful. Their marriage may not be so wonderful. Okay, Lord, I just thank You today, God, for Your Word. Lord, I just ask, God, that our eyes have been opened, our ears have heard. And God, not only that, but we don't leave this Word here. But God, that You recall it to our very being as we walk outside of these doors this day and it become a part of us. God, that we remember when we start to step back into the past, or we daydream into the future, or we believe things and we let our imaginations run where they have no business running, God, that we run to You and You check it, God. You check it, God. And I thank You, Lord, and I love You, God, with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my being. God, be with these people as they leave this place. God, let this be an experience this weekend that they will cherish and never forget. And God, bless their lives. Bless their husbands. Bless their children. Bless their parents. Bless their families, God, and help us to be the church and to work together as you so desire us to be. And Lord, I lift up the food. God, I ask that we thank you for Tammy and that kitchen staff, Lord, and for all the meals they've prepared for us this weekend. And God, we thank you for one more meal and one more time of fellowship, Lord. God, help us to be ourselves and to laugh and be joyful in you and to enjoy each other's company as we eat. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message.